Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. And we just want to thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. And hey, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe, follow button, and give us a like. And so that way we can continue to bring you the great content that you guys have grown to love and that we feel so blessed to be able to share with you. And as we heard somebody say the other day, and again here in the pre-show here before this one, we are all about the meat and potatoes. We don't bring the ice cream gospel. So we give you the straight truth, and you guys know that, and that's what we're all about. So anyway, without further ado, we are going to just simply welcome back to the show Deborah McNinch. She does not need a big, ensemble and us give the big explanation. You know, she is the prayer warrior and the battle cry moms and battle cry dads guru. She's the one that has, she's kind of the warrior in the trenches. And so, Deborah, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you again so much. I love being on here. And this is always such a joy to come on here and just talk about whatever God is teaching me, because I know if he's teaching me something, it's probably something another mom or dad needs to hear as well. So thank you for always allowing me to come on.
Amen. Amen. And hey, we love having you back, and we just appreciate you taking the time to be back on the show. So Deborah, you know what I'm going to do? You obviously have something on your heart that God has been working with you on and teaching you. So you know what? Why don't you teach us?
Let's do it. You know, we were just talking about discipleship just a moment ago before we started. And really, you know, discipleship, we make it super hard, but it's really super easy. It's whatever God is teaching me, I'm going to teach you. And that is just how it works. We just keep sharing what God is doing in our life with somebody else. And that is discipleship. And that's how it works. And so tonight I was just really thinking about, gosh, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to share? And I really, the thing I have just kept coming back to is how my journey started and where I started with just becoming a prayer warrior. And I have to be honest, at the very beginning, in those first moments, days that I found out I had a prodigal child, I remember thinking to myself, if I could just call Billy Graham, if I could just call, you name the pastor on TV or whoever that had definitely a better prayer life than I had and is definitely more knowledgeable about all things Bible than I was. I just kept thinking, if I could just call and talk to one of them, that they would pray and they would make this all better. And I kind of went through this for a while in my mind. And one day I heard God say, I really don't need you to call Billy Graham. I need you to pray. I want to hear your prayers. And your prayers are just as powerful as anybody else's. And that was kind of a shock to me. It was a newsflash. My prayers are powerful. I don't think anybody had really told me that before. And I didn't really understand that I had power of my own because of the Holy Spirit in me to be able to pray and believe for great and mighty things. And so at the beginning of my journey, that is what, how I started. And I started, I'm kind of an Old Testament girl. I love the Old Testament stories. And I went to the story of Gideon, and I went time and time again, and I would read it and I would read it and I would read it. And I'm going to read some of it and I'm going to skip through some of it. I'm not going to read it all. But the thing I like about Gideon is he was a doubter. And that's the fun thing about the Bible. The Bible is full of stories like me. doubters, you know, very, they don't have the experience. They didn't go to seminary. You know, they were fishermen. They were whatever. They were moms. They were, you know, even prostitutes and sometimes, but yet God trusted them with the gospel to go out and go forth. And I felt like that's why I love going, especially to the Old Testament, because there's so many kind of crazy mixed up people there, but God used them and we're still talking about them today. And so I had kept going back to the story of Gideon. And in the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, you know, it starts, it just talks about how Israel had become so evil. There were so many crazy evil things going on in the world, kind of like today. We can look around and just see all of the evil that is happening. And, you know, it was so bad that the Israelites, including Gideon, were kind of hiding from their enemies. They were hiding. They weren't, you know, because the enemy would come in and steal their crops, kill their, you know, their livestock and all of these things. And so when it was time to bring the crop in, you know, he was hiding. He was doing it in a place that they normally wouldn't do it because he was trying to hide from his enemies. And so one night when he was in there doing all of these things in the wrong places, no doubt, you know, the angel of the Lord came to him. And he said, when he appeared to him, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I love that that was the first thing that the angel said to him. Because to that point, Gideon was not a mighty warrior. He was not. He was a doubter. He was hiding. Weakest. His clan was the weakest of all the clans. He didn't have any kind of clout to say that I'm a mighty warrior. And so when the angel of the Lord came to him and spoke that over him, Gideon said exactly what I said when God told me that my prayers were powerful. He was like, "You talking to me? Who are you talking to? Are you sure you're talking to me here?" And that's what he said. And so he's like, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." And he said, "Go in strength. You have and will save Israel out of the Midianites' hands." And Gideon was kind of like, "Are you sure?" You know, and so it goes through all the things Gideon kind of gave God these, okay, if you're really talking to me, you know, do this, this, and this. But what I want to focus on is that he called him a mighty warrior before he ever did anything. And if you're listening to this right now and you have a child that you're praying for, a prodigal, maybe a husband, a son, a daughter, maybe a niece, a nephew, whoever you're praying for, just know right now that God is calling you a mighty prayer warrior. He is calling you to stand up and pray for these children, Amen. For your family. He doesn't need me to do it. He doesn't need Billy Graham to do it. Those are all great prayers. And yes, you need prayer warriors around you, but you have the power in you because of the Holy Spirit living in you to pray and believe for a generation to come home. And Amen. So that is what we can learn from the story of Gideon. Is that we are mighty warriors, and that God is calling us right where we're at in our failures, in our hiding, in our doubt, in our confusion. He sees our future. He already knows. He sees the future, and he already knows a year from now where you're going to be. And so even when he called me at the beginning of my journey, I never in a million years would have believed that I could have spoke on stages or to people on podcasts and all of these things, because I didn't know it was in me, but God knew. And that's what he's saying to you, mom and dad. He knows what is in you, and that you have the power through the power of the Holy Spirit to pray and believe a generation to come home.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And, you know, one of the things too that I want to put in here is that she always talks about the power of prayer every time she's on this show. But I want you to think about her when she's also talking about these Bible characters, you know, these stories. Well, these are true stories. You know, these aren't just, you know, hey, it's just a story we get to tell and it's kind of fun and sounding. You know, these people were going through a lot of stuff when they were. When you're listening to these stories, these are stories of tremendous faith.
Right.
And guess what? At the center of everything they did, they were praying to God. And then they were putting their faith in God in many of the instances. Now, in a few of the instances, they didn't, and they pay the price for that.
Right.
So, you know, right. The Bible has those stories too. But prayer always is at the center of faithfulness. Remember that. So part of just like Deborah's call is to be faithful with the prodigals, okay? Teaching you, doing it herself, mm-hmm. you know, and sharing that to you guys here in the audience, remember this, your faithfulness always starts with prayer. No matter what your calling is, it's going to start with prayer. You know, when we pray for our discipleship program, you know what we pray for? You know what the focal point of the prayer is that hearts will be fertile, that the soil in their hearts will be fertile. So the seeds of the gospel and God's truth will stay taking, grow deep roots, and that the Lord will raise up disciples. He is going to raise them up. And as I've prayed that prayer, there are people coming forward that, quite frankly, I either didn't know or I never expected would be people like starting to step forward with this. So, you know, our movement is doing that. And it is just a testament to the power of faithfulness through prayer. And so, Deborah, I'm going to let you just talk about that, because I know, and of course, we don't want you to share names and stuff like that on here, but I know on your prayer network, that very large prayer network that you have, that you've had some powerful stories of how things have, God's faithfulness, because of the power.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that I like about our network is we talk about not just the hard things, we share in the victories, and it's the small things that we celebrate. You know, it's like maybe I prayed that my child would, you know, get a job, and then he got a job, you know, the right job, not just any job. Or I prayed that, you know, he would find a safe place to live, and God provided that. And so prayer is centered in everything we do and his word. So one of the other things that we talk a lot about is when you are praying, pray God's word. Pray Amen. His word back. So if somebody has a hard situation, something really hard they're going on, I'll always ask them. And I learned this from a pastor that I had many, many years ago, that would always say, "What verse are you standing on?" And so anytime there's a hard situation and someone tells you like, "Oh, pray for me, I'm going through this, this, and this," they would always say, "Well, what verse are you standing on?" And so we find a verse that speaks to our situation, and we stand on it, we proclaim it, we decree it, and we tell our friends to pray over us and with us and for us. And his word is powerful. And so we do see victories. It's because it's rooted in God's word. It's Amen. Rooted in deep prayer, and it comes out of that place, out of the belly. It says in the word, you know, throws out of the belly living water. And that's, you know, those prayers that we pray just flow out of us because of the times that we just spend just seeking his face and his presence. And more than we have to get to the place too, that we want his presence more than we want answers to the prayers. And so I love answers to prayer. I'd like all my prayer answered. That'd be great if that all got happened today. That would be really, great if like that it happened. And it could, he could do that. But, you know, at the same time, we have to stay focused, and I have to enjoy and I have to crave and want his presence over any answers, any immediate anything I could get from him saying the yes from today. And so everything we do is rooted in the just the love of the Lord and his word and being in him and staying in the spirit at all times.
Amen. Amen. You know, I always like to think of it like this. The laundry list of things that I either need or desire, or the things that I'm praying for, is nothing more than a pencil scratch for God.
That's right.
I mean, it's right. Just true. He does not, you know, and I think so many times we sort of think when we pray for something long enough that we're like entitled and feel entitled for it to be answered, kind of on our timeline. We kind of get in that mode. We have to be very careful with that. We still always come back. The central key lesson in the first book called Embracing the Truth of our discipleship series.
Yes.
God is the owner. And he has all the rights of ownership.
Yes.
That means he owns us. That means he gets to decide. We're not the deciders. He is. And so we always have to.
Remember.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That means he decides the who, the how, the where, the when, and the why.
Right.
We don't get to make those decisions. So, you know, I tell people like to act like they do. And for a time, God will just let you go ahead and live like you think you do. But at some point, that's going to end, and you're going to see the true nature of God and the true power of that he actually is the decision maker. He gets the first word and he gets the last word. It's not, you know how it is in marriage. Hey, the woman always gets that last word. And I'm like, no, God gets the last word.
God gets the last word. And that is, I think, in our network, we see that with women that have been praying for, you know, some of them have been praying for a year, some of them maybe for 2 or 3 years, maybe some for 6 or 7 years. But we have women that have been praying for 20 and 30 and 40 years for the things that they want, you know, and that is for their salvation, for their family.
Amen.
And they're patient. They never give up.
Amen.
They stay the course, you know, they stay and they just keep believing that, Lord, I know that you have a time, you have a perfect day, you already have it planned on your calendar, you already know. So I just want to keep my eyes on you and rest in your presence until that day comes.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that's just flexing. What they're doing is flexing their spiritual muscles. When they stay at it that long and they stay that determined, that's called flexing your spiritual muscles. That's exactly what that is. And, you know, God is strengthening you when that happens. Mm. You know, he's bringing strength to something that needs strength and it needs more strength than he keeps providing. And then the more you keep going to him, the stronger he'll make it. I promise you, he does that.
Right.
So here's the thing. And the fact that what I like is that with your battle cry moms and dads, you have a community of connection in prayer and, you know, in connection with prayer. And so talk about how prayer brings connection, because I think that is important too. We talk a lot about prayer with faithfulness and, you know, being these spiritual prayer warriors and all those things, but let's talk the power of connection through prayer.
Yes. And so there's a couple of things that we do in the network that I love. One of them is we pray together every single day at the same time. We do 12 Central Time. And whatever that is in your time zone, it's 1 p.m. in my time zone. We set the alarm on your phone and it goes off. And I know that at 12 Central Time that there are 1,500 plus thousands of people praying at that moment for all the Amen. Prodigals. Might be in the grocery store. You might be driving down the road. Wherever you're at, you just stop and you just take a moment and just ask God to touch the prodigals today and to bring them back and to continue to break their heart for the things that break his, and that today would be the day of salvation. And it's just a 1-2 minute prayer. It's nothing crazy lengthwise, but it's powerful because of community and because we're all doing it together and we are all believing together that God is hearing these prayers. And sometimes I can just get this visual of like just all these prayers just all at once, like at 12 Central Time, just like bombarding heaven, just like, wow, you know, just all at once. And it's just powerful. There's just power in that. And then we've started in this last year or so, we've started meeting via Zoom to pray once a week. Anybody that can jump on a Zoom call, Amen. Because there's power once again in community, and we're all agreeing and believing together for the same things. And we are standing arm in arm together, believing and declaring God's word. And it's a powerful thing. Yes, you can pray on your own. Absolutely. 100%. I do it all the time. But when I am praying with my sisters in Christ that are praying for the same things that I am, and we are, the cry of our heart is for the lost and for salvation to come to Amen. The prodigals. It is a powerful, powerful thing to do it together.
Amen, amen, and amen, I say to that. So, you know, one of the examples that always comes to mind is the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, Joshua. So when God was commanding him to do what he did, he didn't go out and do it by himself. They had to go out. The whole community went out and did this. And it was a way of being faithful to God. You know, the way they marched around and carried everything. You know, in many ways, that was a prayer.
Right.
As a community. Yeah. And that was connection, because what God was doing was he was showing them that together, as they would work together according to his plan in his will and being obedient to him, that he would be with them as a community, as a community. Think about how that strengthened the Israelites as they were going into the promised land with those type of things that happened. And so, you know, that's just a great example of the power of communal prayer. The other one is in the book of Acts, we see this several times with the apostles and these guys fasting and praying together. I'll tell you an example, if you really want an amazing example, is that in December 31st, 1738, into January 1st, 1739, there was a group of 60 men that fasted and prayed, the Federalist Society in London, and they prayed, and one of the Wesleyan brothers will record in their diary an Acts 2 type of movement in that prayer session. And what happens from there is when they leave and these guys go out and start preaching, and they had been doing it with not much success before that, they do that and it leads to the Great Awakening.
Mm.
One of the greatest spiritual movements in the history of the world. It would completely transform the colonies and England. And it's called the prayer meeting that saved England. That is actually what it's called.
Awesome.
So it's amazing. The power of community prayer. And so, folks, I'm going to tell you, every one of you need to be in a community of prayer.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Even if it's just two people. You know, think of the Hebrides revival. It's one of my favorite revivals to talk about. And it was two ladies, both in their 80s, you know, in Scotland, that was tired of what they were seeing.
We have the female Moses here, the two female Moses.
Right. You know, and so they got together and started, they couldn't even go to church. They were so feeble and just wasn't able to go, but they knew that they could start praying. And they started praying three or four times a week at the same times. And what happened was a whole revival broke out. And the Hebrides revival is an amazing thing to read about and study, but that's just what you're saying. There's power when you link your prayers with someone else. There's power in it. And you need to find a prayer warrior, find a group, find one person, whatever you can find. But it is a very powerful thing when we're together, believing for a move of God.
Amen. Amen. And amen. So here's another thing that I wanted to throw out. So we've talked about the connection, the power of connection with prayer. Here's the other one. And I think this sometimes may be the hardest. Is that when we see success, I think human beings struggle with success more than they do with failure. Hmm. What we have to be very careful of is that we need to make sure that we stay vigilant with prayer in when things become successful, when God does start granting the blessings, because it's very easy. Right. And he warns us in the book of Deuteronomy, he warns the Israelites, don't think you're the one creating this wealth. And you're the one creating the success. God's saying, I do that. I give you the power to do that, to have the success. Mm-hmm. So we got to always continually be praising and thanking God and giving him credit through the power of prayer with success. I'm going to let you kind of take it from there.
We do. You know, we're human. And so any of us could at any time start tooting our own horn and saying, oh yeah, well, you know, I did do that one thing. I did write a book. I did, you know,
flexing my own muscle, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that we, just like you said, it is all about humble. It's all about, this is all God's. God is the one that speaks to each of us. He gave us the gifts, just like Gideon. He knew what was in him. He gave him the gifts to use to fight the battle and to change generations because of his faithfulness. And that is what he's looking to do through every mom and dad listening to this podcast. He's looking for your heart to be humble, and he's looking for your faithfulness to say yes and to see what he will do through you. And it's all him. If I always joke, you know, if you would see my English grades, you would know that, you know, it was only God that could have written a book. Like, because I, you know, I did not have that in me to do that. And so none of this is on our own. None of it that we can do is on our own. It's all through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen and amen. So yeah, one of the things I want to say is that, you know, for me personally, and you guys don't know all this stuff about me, but you know, my ego trip was coaching. It was. And God needed to break that in me so that I would not get caught in that trap anymore, that I would walk out of it. And so the fact that as I gave that up, and he called me to give it up. And once I did, I didn't go back to it. And he didn't ever even allow a sliver for me to go back to it. It's a testament to the fact that he's washed that out of me. And so, yeah, we have to be very careful of that, tooting our own horn and aligning ourselves with things that can allow us to do that. So, yeah.
I agree. And I think we've seen a little bit of that recently, kind of on the national stage with an artist that's come out, you know, and I've always been kind of on that train as well. I always thought, you know, we're called to not be a part of the world, but to be a part of it, but to stand out and be different from it. And I always kind of thought that, you know, all of these awards and things we give ourselves, we're all just a little bit crazy because it's just something you have to throw at the feet of Jesus one day. It says that we will all throw our crowns down. We can't take our Grammys to heaven. We can't take our book awards to heaven with us, you know? We have to just realize that none of that stuff matters. Any accolades that this world could give you, that's not going to matter. There's one thing that we should all long for, and that is that good, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. And that is the only award that one day I hope to get.
I don't need a U-Haul behind my hearse. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I mean, hey, none of that's going to matter. Amen to that. So, well, we're running out of time, and I hate that because we could carry this conversation on for another 2 days if we wanted to.
Yes.
But Deborah, I just want you to tell everybody how they can get connected to you, what it is they could do to, you know, to get into your prayer network and all the good stuff and your book and all that, those type of things.
Yes. And so we're actually this week, at the end of October is when we're filming this. It's the 1 year anniversary coming up in a few days of Battle Cry coming out. And you can find that on my website, which is DeborahMcNench.com, or on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, all the places you can buy books, you can get it. And it's still just as powerful today. I get messages, you know, every week from a mom that said, gosh, you know, I thought I was the only one thinking these things. And so it's just one of those books that is just going to speak to you. And it's just going to just encourage you to keep pressing on and knowing that God has your situation. And so you can connect with me on DeborahMcNench.com. You can join, if you're a mom and you want to join the network, you can do that at www.battlecrymoms.com. And we would love to have you. And battlecrydads.com. I always say, you know, dads aren't joiners. The Dads Network is pretty small, but one of these days it's going to take off and it's going to grow. But we would love to have you as part of our community. Our motto, I will say it every single time, is no one fights alone. And Amen. We would love to have you just join us in prayer and believing for our families.
Amen. Well, folks, we are out of time and I got to wrap this up quickly. So thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Hit that follow, subscribe button and give us a like. And on behalf of myself and Deborah, we want to thank you. And as we always finish, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.
Amen. Boom.
Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining today's show. And you've been hearing us give shout outs to different communities that are big supporters of the show. And we want to say, encourage people in your area, as we want to be able to give out more shout outs, but also because our goal is over the next 24 months, we want to go to as many locations as possible, whether it's coming to a church or to a community, to be able to share our discipleship program with you and be able to bring people on the podcast to do live episodes, as well as to teach people discipleship as it is intended for it to be taught, and to help you spread the gospel in your area and be able to learn how to be discipled yourself and disciple others through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our programs are designed to do that. We have books being published as we speak. We've got our entire discipleship series that we already do in person, and in the location that we're at now, but we'll also be bringing it online as well. So continue to listen to the show and encourage the people around you to get on the show And we would love to be able to come and visit your area and let us know that you are being impacted by this show in a positive way and being able to, it's helping you to be able to find a way to share with other people the gospel. We are all about spreading the gospel and helping to spark a great harvest. Thank you so much for tuning into our show. We appreciate you being supporters of our community, and we so look forward to being able to come and visit you. God bless every one of you.